"Whew, boy, listen to them nip gunners plaster that area," said a buddy in the next hole. "Yeah," Snafu said. "They must think we're still out there, and I bet you they'll counterattack right across through that place, too." "Thank God we are here and not out there," our buddy said. The barrage increased in tempo as the Japanese gave the vacant scrub jungle a real pounding. When the barrage finally subsided, I heard someone say with a chuckle, "Don't knock it off now, you bastards. Fire all your goddamn shells out there in the wrong place." "Don't worry, knucklehead. They'll have plenty left to fire in the right place, which is going to be where they see us when daylight comes," another voice said. Supplies had been slow in keeping up with the needs of the 5th Marines infantry companies on D-Day. The Japanese kept heavy artillery, mortar, and machine gun fire on the entire regimental beach throughout the day. Enemy artillery and mortar observers called down their fire on amphibian vehicles as soon as they reached the beach. This made it difficult to get the critical supplies ashore and the wounded evacuated. All of Peleliu was a front line on D-Day. No one but the dead was out of reach of enemy fire. The shore party people did their best, but they couldn't make up for the heavy losses of Amtraks needed to bring the supplies to us. The shore party battalion consisted of Marines assigned the mission of unloading and handling supplies and of directing logistics traffic on the beach during an amphibious assault. We weren't aware of the problems on the beach, being too occupied with our own. We griped, cursed, and prayed that water would get to us. I had used mine more sparingly than some men had, but I finally emptied both of my canteens by the time we finished the gun pit. Dissolving dextrose tablets in my mouth helped a little, but my thirst grew worse through the night. For the first time in my life, I appreciated fully the motion picture cliché of a man on a desert crying, "Water! Water!" Artillery shells still passed back and forth overhead just before dawn, but there wasn't much small arms fire in our area. Abruptly, there swept over us some of the most intense Japanese machine gun fire I ever saw concentrated in such a small area. Tracers streaked and bullets cracked not more than a foot over the top of our gun pit. We lay flat on our backs and waited as the burst ended. The gun cut loose again, joined by a second and possibly a third. Streams of bluish-white tracers, American tracers were red, poured thickly overhead, apparently coming from somewhere near the airfield. The crossfire kept up for at least a quarter of an hour. They really poured it on. Shortly before the machine guns opened fire, we had received word to move out at daylight with the entire 5th Marine Regiment in an attack across the airfield. I prayed the machine gun fire would subside before we had to move out. We were pinned down tightly. To raise anything above the edge of the gun pit would have resulted in its being cut off as though by a giant scythe. After about 15 minutes, firing ceased abruptly. We sighed in relief.